Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a slide rule is for. But I do know one and one is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be. For maybe by being an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Yeah, I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. And I'm Chuck Gregory. And we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's also on revolution.radio, and it's a listener-supported network. So head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them some support. They deserve it. They keep two streams of audio going just about 24/7, and it's lots of really, really good shows. We are honored to be on the network. We've been here for quite a while now. And with no further ado, I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Richard Flamer, Thomas Wertman, Kim Fetzer, Frank Cordell, and Philip Ferruzio. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in northern Minnesota, in Port Orange, Florida, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Cleveland, Ohio, in Madison, Wisconsin, in San Cristobal, de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico, and wherever you are. My recommended, the newest issue of Penn Magazine is now available, the Poor People's Campaign issue. We ought to come in mule carts, in old trucks, any kind of transportation people can get their hands on. People ought to come to Washington, sit down if necessary in the middle of the street and say, we are here, we are poor, we don't have any money, you have made us this way, and we've come to stay until you do something about it. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. Martin Luther King Jr., 1968. The newest edition of Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. Tonight's show is sponsored in part by a grant from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, also by FindWarCriminals.com. If your name is Bush or Clinton or Obama or Blair or Trump and want to meet up with other war criminals, you can find them at FindWarCriminals.com. More than just online dating, pre-screen for compatibility, FindWarCriminals.com. Also by a grant from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, a brand new Washington, D.C. think tank staffed by American fourth grade students who have questions about the things they were told about America in the third grade. Let's get this straight. We went to the moon 100 years ago, but we never went back. We are also sponsored tonight by the committee to waterboard Anderson Cooper. It's not that bad anyway. By Mr. Bubble, get you so clean your mother won't know you. And this just in, Mr. Bubble will now also be leading the committee, the Water Board, Chris Hedges, John Stewart, Amy Goodman, Rachel Maddow, Matthew Rothschild, Stephen Colbert, Ruth Conniff, Eric Alterman, Bill Moyers, Arianna Huffington, Bill Maher, Gary Trudeau, Michael Moore, Al Franken, Marcus Zuniga, Noam Chomsky, and Garrison Keillor. Mr. Bubble wants to know why the liberal so-called radical writers do not ever mention the obvious scams of 9/11, Boston, and Sandy Hook. And while they think they are radical writers and fighting the good fight, they are either bought and paid for, or they are consciously skirting around the edges of the real issues like frightened water bugs around the swamp. And maybe they should just give up and get construction jobs. Mr. Bubble sees that, and Mr. Bubble is confused. Mr. Bubble wants answers. Mr. Bubble wants the truth. The Americans is also sponsored this week by Gravitas Cologne. If you are what you are, then you ain't what you ain't. Get some Gravitas cologne today and at least smell like you mean business. Also sponsored by the National Intelligence Agency, Combating Stupidity. Also by Go Your Own Way, Compasses for Republicans. As well as I Think We're Alone Now, Personal Computers for Americans. The Americans is also brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. And now, the Americans. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before. But after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway, to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. We rejoin our reality show, already in progress.
In the parallelogram office, we find President Cosmo Nutt at his big desk, drawing on his big yellow legal pad, working on some last-minute dollar signs, boobs, and tanks before he must go down to the camo ball. In the big hall, we find all the guests dancing round a cherry tree decorated with copies of the 9/11 Commission Report and the Warren Commission Report. In a conga line, bowing to the cherry tree, to the beat of the band, the Good Americans. To be followed at midnight by the baby boomer rap group Rage Against the Mujahideen. The party guests drink camo wine, all dressed in formal camo, circle the cherry tree, turning to bow at the chorus to the beat of the Good Americans' new hit song, Dance Like an American. Listen in to the lyrics of Dance Like an American, whose citizens have been conditioned from childhood to follow orders, go through channels, submit to a host of humiliating rituals devised by an ever-expanding range of government and private security services, and to worship leaders, police, soldiers, and basically anyone wearing a uniform or a Giorgio Armani business suit. Good Americans, as a general rule, are not overly concerned with what actually happened or what is actually happening now. Or at least they're not too concerned with the details. History, politics, economics, well, not to mention the inner workings of the media. Complicated subjects, best left to experts. Good Americans are grown-ups, after all, so they understand all that crap about democracy is important to teach the children and put on the masthead of your newspaper or whatever, but the real world doesn't work like that. They do not have the time or the energy to go digging through reams of declassified documents or to check the fact of the stories that appear in the New York Times or to read a book.
What with all the demands of work, family, Facebook, Twitter, yoga, shopping, keeping up to date with the latest dining trends, not to mention the new season of House of Cards, there simply aren't enough hours in the day to scrutinize everything their leaders are doing or the information the media is feeding them. This does not make these good Americans accomplices to any alleged atrocities perpetrated by their elected government. The United States isn't Nazi Germany. Way, oh, way, oh, way, oh, way, oh, walk like an American. Walk like an American.
Put the bop in the bop she bop. Put the ram in the ram a lam a ding dong. Ding dong. Meanwhile, we now find Skippy, the construction worker, YouTube self-taught demolition expert, singing karaoke at the Paul Wellstone Hale Boggs Crash Landing Bar across the river. Thinking about burning it down, boys. Nothing ever going to be the same in this town. Thinking about burning it down.
Our first guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank is a former Catholic priest. He spent at least six, probably more than 6 years in federal prison for protesting, for fighting in the U.S. military. And we're going to join the discussion, the conversation between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero right about now.
Chuck.
Well, Frank.
Well, welcome to hell. It's like 95 here in Des Moines, and the heat index, or what it has to be, you know, over 100 in the humid stuff. And we are just sweltering here in corn and soybean, hog and cow world, USA. Eddie Bloomer made a one of his chicken soups. And, you know, soup on a 90-degree day, pretty tough sell. But folks are hungry no matter what. God bless them. And we're just trying to breathe in and breathe out. Good news is that the, in its wisdom, Polk County is going to retry the three Catholic worker amigos from the December 28th drone trespass charges. Now, get this. These are charges now that you cannot be sent to jail for. They're so low that they are only fines. And they lost this jury trial in April, and they want to do it again. Go figure. Eddie Bloomer, Des Moines Catholic Worker, Greg Borchi, Duluth Catholic Worker, and Brian Hayes, the Bronx Catholic Worker, they will be retried in August. Their attorney, Glenn, has just yesterday personally delivered a subpoena to the Drone Command Center's commander on site. He said, Glenn was so, he said, called back, says, there were so many military personnel around me, guards taking me to the scene. It was amazing. So now, whether or not he shows up or not, it does give us an opportunity yet again to expose the war crimes going on 24/7. We're gearing up for the national gathering that's going to happen in Rochester in a couple of weeks, the National Catholic Worker Gathering, and then we come back and we pick up on our August 6th to 9th vigil at the cathedral, which will end at the drone base on the 9th. Those are August 6th and 9th, Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Right.
Our days are full, and we're having, you know, extraordinary difficulties in community, which often happen in these scenes. One of the clearest examples of just human failures, then compounded by mostly fear and misunderstanding into, you know, identity politics, friends. Nothing worse in family or home or community than the people to fight out their personal failures under the banner of identity politics. You're a racist. Well, you're a sexist. Well, you're a homophobic. You're a classist. You're, it's just death to people. So that's tragically going on, and these are lessons hard learned. So I don't need to say much more than that. Anybody who's a Catholic worker knows what we're talking about. It's just, you know, the deal here is we take anybody side on site. If they say who they are and that whatever sin they committed, they're reformed and that they want to serve people, we take them. We often get people who just want to be honest or up front as they want to be. Now, does that mean, I just want you to know that the general population out there in America are people who could either be our guest or be in our community. But they always are people who are screwed up. Everybody in this culture is screwed up. So this place is a place where screw-ups show up and do a very menial thing. Feed people. Do a soup kitchen. Clean a shower. It's all domestic. And there's no money. It's all voluntary. And we live in community. And the community, we work at community in as much as it allows us to do the work of serving the poor. That's our goal. It's not rocket scientists. We're not building a multi-million-dollar business. This isn't no fucking higher education. The skills you need here at this place is stuff you got when you were 10 years old, when you're hanging out your cousins, either your place or their place. You learn how to do hospitality. That's it. That's what the scene here is. And when we form this community, all we try to do is let's not kill each other in doing this work. It's a low bar. But you'd be surprised how often in this culture, people who want to do good just can't help but do bad and do it badly, because this is who we are. And this is places where exposes the real limits of the culture and the woundedness of people. No lie. So this is always a contention these days between myself and my friend Jessica Resnicek, Hammer of Justice, headhunter of the Empire, woman out about looking for other comrades to join the effort. That's just who she is. She's a warrior. She says, the problem with you folks in Des Moines is you take anybody and you inevitably get, you know, you pay a price. People just don't act right. And she sees that as a disadvantage and would prefer to work with people she can trust, which makes sense. She's a warrior. They're going to be doing things that you need a high trust level. But at the Catholic Worker, we're not pulling off a plowshare's action. We're feeding a bowl of soup. And this is a place where any loser can have a second chance. Now, you blow it in the circle, then we ask you to leave. And that happens often. But that's the life we live. It's really different. And that's why I do hospitality and Jess is on the road, looking for, comrades to do work and resistance. Two different energies, but all of it needed. And, only these, they always hurt here. They always hurt because you always, I mean, I've been here 40 some years. So almost every situation I can think of, we've done it, and
I bet.
We've done it several times, and now it's been played out with my friend screwing up, or my enemy screwing up, or I have to rely on this person who's somebody else, and another way it's a cousin. I mean, there are no set ways. Our most recent real sexual predator was a guy who was African American. Gay guy from the West Coast, and he played himself up to be just as bad as anyone could be, and we had to run him out. And these things just happen. You get people who are really broken, and they play out in front of us, and we have to take care of it. So, and it happens all the time. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a difficult thing. Most difficult thing in community for me is to survive these things and pick up the pieces and see who's left and say, okay, let's just keep doing this shit. And that's what we do. So rebuilding again. I must be saying this every year. I feel like I do. Maybe every other year. And I got to tell you, it's probably true. As I go to my mentors and people saying, okay, this is the first thing they want to know is this different than anything else that's happened before? And then I look back and I say, no. And they go, okay. So it's built in. And I've got all the theology out there. I've written all about it, blah, blah, blah. You know, it still is a bitch to live in community. That's all I could say.
Yeah, I can tell that, yeah. Well, Frank, thank you.
Sure. And, yeah, brother. Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Chuck. All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands and how do you do, but they're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
Chuck, in our next half hour, we will be talking to Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer will be joining us from Chiapas, Mexico. See what's happening in Mexico. See if it's hot down there. It's got to be hot down there. It's even hot in Duluth. We were up around the 90s. That's hot for us. So we're going to hear the hot news from Chiapas, Mexico in the next half hour. Stay tuned. Thank you.
right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Philip joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida, and he publishes columns all over on the internet, World News Trust, Nation of Change, Information Clearinghouse, you name it, he's probably got an article there. Here we are, Philip Ferrugio with It's the Empire, stupid.
Good evening. The callousness of the corporate military empire. You know, Sharon Lerner recently did a great piece for the Intercept website on a DuPont Corporation armaments factory in southern New Jersey. This location had been contaminating the area around it since the 1880s. Meaning that just about every carcinogenic material known to man had been released into the ethers for well over 120 years. They had survived so many investigations, I guess money does talk, that reading Ms. Lerner's piece can actually make one sick. What is really troubling is that DuPont, like most callous corporations, never gave a rat's ass about their workers' or local residents' well-being. Ms. Lerner explains how, and I quote, after lead poisoning drew attention to its southern New Jersey plant, a 1936 company report stated that the lead casualties among its workforce were part of, and this is what they said, the slow and gradual toll which humanity has always paid and perhaps must pay for the conquest of new and dangerous ground. Unquote. I kid you not. During the Vietnam debacle, correspondent Peter Arnett quoted an army major after we had just destroyed a small town that was being held by the Viet Cong. Many of its inhabitants, mostly non-combatants, were killed. The major stated to Arnett, "We had to destroy the town to save it." Fast forward to our excursions into Iraq and Afghanistan, replete with carpet bombings and depleted uranium bombardments of countless civilians. The mantra then was that we were bringing democracy to those nations. If only we have democracy here at home, which this two-party, one-party scam would never allow. Is this the reason why about half of eligible voters decide over and over to not even attempt to vote? For years, we who do vote have pointed our fingers at this group of Americans when maybe, just maybe, they know more than we do. You know, this writer has a mouthful of holes where my teeth used to be. The choice was always to save a tooth by spending $2,000 for a root canal and a crown, or $175 to pull it out. Dental insurance has too many restrictions unless one gets it through their job, if you're even lucky enough to have the privilege anymore. We all know about the healthcare scam, whereupon private insurers run it all. Twice, even with Medicare, my ENT doctor's request for a deviated septum procedure was rejected by my insurer. Twice. Obama ran in 2008 on the premise of getting us all Medicare for all with a public option, which still would have been the private insurance companies running things. Therefore, I would still have not had that ENT procedure. The reality was that Obama received over $22 million in campaign donations from the healthcare industry, while McCain only received less than $8 million. So does anyone with half a brain really think that he was going to go all in on Medicare for all? You know, we have libraries throughout our nation in financial dire straits. My county library system is operating on one-third less in budgeting for over 10 years now. There used to be two giant walls reserved for A, new books, and one for fiction and one for nonfiction. Now the areas are as tiny as one could imagine. Roads throughout America are in need of repair. Mass transit is ancient compared to Europe. Medicaid is under assault from the cost cutters. Our public schools are always in need of everything. This writer remembers being told by a Florida teacher how during the hot spells, which usually last from May to October in Central Florida, the schools had locks put on their AC thermostats with the temperature dial set too high. This teacher told me how teachers in that school would have to go to the thermostat sneakily, light a match by it to get the unit to kick in. The heat was so great in the afternoons. They send our young soldiers overseas to occupy countries we have no business ever being in. Peeling away the onion of truth reveals that our military is over there to protect our corporations and our banking cartels, and not for any other reason. So we kill and get our soldiers killed for no moral purpose at all, except to keep the empire empowered. Of course, this all fuels the nourishment of the beast that our military corporate empire has become, whereupon half of our federal taxes goes down the rabbit hole. Is this what making America great again is all about? Thank you.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a can and a fiver, car and keys and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. And now it's time for the Wisconsin Daytime Drama, Straight Out of Kenosha, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Green Bay and the campaign by certain parishioners to make the colors green and gold permanent for all liturgical vestments. As we enter the Utter Tavern, we hear the Bee Gees singing Don't Throw It All Away, the first song ever written and performed about mulch. We find Poncho and Lefty waiting semi-patiently for The Price is Right to come on the TV. Lefty has just finished wiping down the bar and is just now refilling the peanut bowl.
Faced with working class life, I see only one solution, beer.
And remember, they don't hate us for our freedoms. They hate us because we're sociopaths.
Right, Lefty. Well, you see the news today. Congress, as on television, generals are treated with odd respect, service members spoken of as if they were saints. Liberals are especially careful to make the right noises, obeisance to the uniform, having become the shibboleth of patriotism, as anti-communism used to be. Across the political spectrum, throughout the media, in private and public life, the pieties and ritual declarations are second nature now. Warriors, heroes, mission. Our young men and women in uniform. Our brave young men and women. Our finest young people. All military personnel are now heroes. Sporting events have turned into military worship services. Patriotism is now equated with admiration for the military. And, of course, the big lie that the troops are defending our freedoms. It's repeated morning, noon, and night. The cult of the uniform has spread to churches as well. It's okay for someone to put on a military uniform and kill someone halfway around the world who was no threat to America, but it's murder if the same person killed someone here in the United States. A terrorist, anyone who detonates a bomb, unless he's wearing a U.S. military uniform.
Oh, I'm sorry, Poncho. I wasn't listening. What channel is it on anyway? Join us next week for another episode of the Wisconsin Daytime Drama, straight out of Kenosha, sponsored by Cheesehead Earbuds, Beverly's Big Bratwurst, and Lake Wissota Misty Mulch Beer. And now it's talk time. Letters in a Boone's Farm bottle, when we talk over stuff and receive messages from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. So here we are, Chuck and Mike, and write your comments and questions to nwestiowa@gmail.com or cwg@cwgservices.com. nwestiowa@gmail.com or cwg@cwgservices.com. Chuck, do you got anything on that you'd like to talk about right now?
Well, you know, Mike, I think what I'm going to talk about right now is roofers. We've got a new roof going on here at our apartment building. And I tell you, they make a hellacious noise. Bang, 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 boom, ba, ba. Boom, 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 ba. Man, you wake up early. You try to take a nap and boom, there's, yep. Then of course, when Lorraine goes off, you know, goes to the doctor, then, oh, it's their lunch break. They're quiet. She comes home, boom, 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 boom. Man, we just can't win, right? You know, it's been this way about 4 days now.
Yeah, roofers, write in and tell us about, give us your construction horror stories. Also, we could go to Common Dreams that or Information Clearinghouse to look in on what's happening around the country. Chuck, I'm just going to read through a couple headlines here, see if there's anything that universal voting dissolves the obstacles facing voters. The Dems could win if they stood for something. This is on Common Dreams. What's the biggest threat to American democracy? Imagining an economy that serves the 99%. Lee Camp, the number one cause of climate change, the media doesn't mention. Juan Cole, no, Trump is not going to save UK or Theresa May from economic consequences of Brexit. And also I've got these two up. I've got commondreams.org and Information Clearinghouse. And the reason, as I said last week, that I thought we might try this is, for one thing, I'd like to hear from listeners to see if you don't have to talk about anything we're talking about here, but if you have any questions or comments or anything, just let us know. nwestiowa@gmail.com. That's me. And Chuck is cwg@cwgservices.com. And we'll just keep trying this to see if there's anything anybody wants to say. But if you go to, and I have informationclearinghouse.info up and commondreams.org up. Because a lot of times we'll talk about conspiracy theory, a lot of times, all the time. And I think we need to do that. But there's also a whole another world out there. If you go to these two websites, Information Clearinghouse, sometimes we'll get into this stuff, but Common Dreams won't ever. talk about that, and that's another thing why they won't. But they also talk about a lot of good issues. A couple headlines are Information Clearinghouse. Senate committee approves AIPAC bill to give Israel $38 billion over 10 years with additional perks. And just I just don't understand why we need to give Israel anything. I don't know, you know, who else do we give money to? I think it's because they own our Congress and our Senate and probably all of our media and most of our corporations. That might be one couple of reasons. But I think that's, and there's a lot of people who I think would agree with me on that we don't need to be given Israel this. I think it needs to come here for bridges and roads and whatever. Also, there's another headline. Prominent whistleblowers and journalists defend Julian Assange at online vigil. And I've also wondered if, you know, over the years, if Julian Assange is the real thing, yeah, or if Edward Snowden is the real thing. You know, they don't ever talk about 9/11. And that's just, I don't understand that. If they're such whistleblowers, why don't they talk about 9/11? Okay, now we have to stop that. We'll get back to it next week. It's time for Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer joins us each month from Chiapas, Mexico, the Chiapas Catholic Worker. And now we're going to hear from Richard Flamer in Chiapas, Mexico.
Yeah, just over 4,000 municipal, state, and federal positions were elected on the 1st of July this year. Leading up to the elections was a wave of violence. From December, when the candidates were first announced, just over 130 have been killed. Candidates from all the parties have been the victims, from mayoral to federal delegates. Many of the victims were killed by drug dealers anxious that honest politicians, or at least politicians that couldn't be extorted, didn't get elected. Other victims were killed by feuds, that is sort of like the Hatfields and McCoys, where one extended family did not want the other to be in charge. Other victims were killed by opposing candidates. One of the surprises for those of us who are expatriates, used to U.S. elections, was the voter turnout. The final figures of the Election Commission indicate that in some states, fully 70% of the registered voters turned out to vote. The national average was actually 64.5%. The Morena Party swept Mexico. Enough members were elected to the Senate for control. Six of the eight governors elected were from Morena. Most observers were quite clear in suggesting the PRI party, which has been ruling for the number of years, has done nothing about the corruption, violence, etc. At minimum, the new president, Andres Manuel López Obrador, is known for his honesty, his hard work, and his leftist tendencies. The tsunami of the Morena Party has impressed everyone in Mexico. Obviously, the popularity of López Obrador was a major factor. He is, after all, a populist. I don't believe the populace was particularly well-informed, especially when literacy in southern Mexico is, at best, only 60%. The poor in our community came to Araceli and I to ask how they could vote for AMLO. That's how they refer to López Obrador. We showed them on the sample ballots the logo for Morena, and most simply marked that logo for all offices from local to federal. Another surprise for me and others was the speed of López Obrador in building his party. He started from nothing. In 6 years, he obviously worked hard, taking his anthem to every little town and village throughout Mexico. In the equivalent of the House of Representatives in the U.S. Congress, the deputies or delegates, 140 of them, a majority, represented communities all throughout the country from the Morena Party. The opposition parties, quite frankly, failed miserably. Meade, representing the PRI party, which had ruled Mexico for some 70 years, was gracious in his concession speech and quite honest in saying that the party has to reinvent itself. In contrast to Meade, Ricardo Anaya was gracious about Lopez Obrador in his introduction. Then he slammed and whined about how mistreated he had been by the current justice system. To close this part, Enrique Krause, before the elections, is a political pundit of sorts, spoke disparagingly of AMLO, but as he said, he's not like Trump, or as he named him, the Caligula on Twitter. The second part is a much more personal part. I'm sitting in a mission-style rocker made of oak from my land in my subterranean shop. One might think I had some sort of control over my life. A fire in the fireplace nearby, designed by me with firewood from the branches of those oaks cut down and cut up by me and my friends. One might think I have some sort of control over my life and the world I live in. It would be a mistake to think that way. I'm convinced, even more so with age, that I know less and have less energy, but more faith in the mystic life of Christ. The religion of my family, the fallen Catholic who is my father, and the Southern Baptist faith of my mother, play a small, almost minuscule role in my daily life. The saints and martyrs I've met along the way give me much more of a grounding in what life, what I like to think of as my religious life. It isn't about me, it's about the people around me that seem to define my sense of the theological. The gutsiness, the grit of the working men and women who face daily trials, some small, some large, but all struggle. The way those families and friends cope with their world and mine make me see the holiness of the poor. My rich friends, most of whom don't realize how their wealth or their poverty, suffer those same trials and struggles, but manage to smooth their way by entertainment, a new house, a new car, etc. I think their life is more empty because their wealth precludes them from sensing the real wealth of the Spirit. It's probably superficial on my part to make such presumptions, but I'm not sure there's another way of approaching the subject. I'm not sure that my life is one of looking for happiness. Happiness for me is not an illusion, but a state of fleeting consciousness. Self-worth is also just as fleeting, but in the end of some substance. With my age, with my friends of like years, I encounter the death of my peers. I think often of my friends and family who have died these last few years. I've seen much of death in my time in Vietnam as a soldier, in my time in Central America working as a forensic photographer. And yet I meet and live with those who are much younger. I delight in passing what little talents I have earned along the way. I've been fortunate with friends who have helped Araceli and I, but more importantly, the young people around us with scholarships, medicine, medical help. The young retarded child who requires glasses every 6 months to correct his eyes, that child has cerebral palsy. The six young women from a village in Guatemala whose families are struggling to start a new life after 25 years in refugee camps. The girls who graduate from boarding school with an opportunity to go to university thanks to the Omaha Diocese, two other friends who paid for the schooling. The two young people who've gone to and graduated from the woodworking school in San Cristobal, working in the Guatemalan community and helping support their families. All of this for me is a kind of judgment on my life. My failures are legion. At my father's memorial service, I wrote the service. I mentioned that the people present knew my father's virtues, so I chose to speak of his vices. They also were legion, but surely defined who he was as a man, as a father, and as my friend. Day to day, I fail with my coarse language, with my sins of omission. Often my dreams go unfulfilled. I usually blame the failures on lack of money, but I'm sure in my heart that the failures are really the fault of my will, which hubris I suffer from. Over the last 20 years, I've been trying to learn to accommodate. That is, when the oak I work with is too heavy, I ask for help these days. Sometimes I need help when my body aches. My temper, not so fiery these days. That is, I don't get into fist fights. Still causes a kind of curtness, maybe gruffness in lieu of the fisticuffs of my youth. Not actually a solution, but an acceptable accommodation, I think. When I reflect on my intellectual education, I don't really think of what I've read and studied, but of what I need to learn. I've decided my formal education, i.e. college, is not really useless since I was introduced to so many writers and thinkers that I've since read with great pleasure and some understanding. More important than the formal side, my education in the used book trade was much more important. With customers interested in everything from early science to the Black Mountain poets, I was forced to study more than my narrow field of English literature. And, of course, my time in the Army, both the comradeship and the constant challenge made me value the nature of duty. It took me a while, however, to understand that duty to my own conscience was more important than the laws and order of men. Theology has come alive these last few years, not just for my reading, but for my life with the Catholic Worker Movement, with my life living amongst the poor, but finally my life in art with photography. I'm blessed. My friends, my wife Araceli, and the strangers and guests I've encountered along the way are my reason for being. Thanks and blessings to you all for accommodating me in your life.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you for being on our show. I understand that you're going to take a couple months off, and we will miss you very much during that time. But we look forward to having you back in the fall.
Okay. Thanks so much. And it's been a wonderful honor for me. Thank you.
The honor is ours. And thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, Chuck, that's kind of tough to hear that we're not going to have Richard around for the rest of the summer, but we'll look forward to the fall. He needs to take some time off.
Yeah, we're sure missing.
He's been with us for at least a couple of years, I think.
I love listening to him.
Yep. We'll look forward to the fall and hearing from Richard Flamer again.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is a former professor. He's a reporter, a radio show host, and author. You can find his work at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com and also Moonrock Books. So Jim Fetzer is going to join us right now from Madison, Wisconsin.
Mike, Chuck, great to be with you guys again. I so admire what you're doing with the New American Dream. We have a fascinating display of democracy at work on television today, broadcasting the Senate hearing for Peter Strzok, who was an FBI agent at the core of the corrupt efforts to protect Hillary Clinton and impeach Donald Trump for offenses that he did not commit. It's an extension of the Russian hacking meme, which we know was created by Robbie Mook and John Podesta. They made it up out of whole cloth within 48 hours of Hillary's concession speech in order to divert attention from the incompetent campaign they had run, from the contents of WikiLeaks revelations that led directly to Pizzagate, where John Podesta himself is pedophile-in-chief, and from her own entanglements with Russia, which included selling off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves to Russia for a $145 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation, documented by two investigative journalists who had followed the Clinton campaign and published about it in their book Shattered, published early in 2017, exposing the whole hoax, but you haven't heard about it from the mainstream media because the Democrats find it so beneficial to promote falsehoods, fakery, propaganda. And I say this as one who was one for most of my career. I voted Democratic. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But when it came to the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I could not bring myself to vote for a sadistic monster who has done immeasurable damage to the United States. And it's very stunning to me how the left has continued to perpetuate fraudulent misrepresentations, for example, about the Donald separating children from their parents and enforcing the laws of the nation, because those laws were signed by none other than Bill Clinton, the husband of Hillary, who's even giving indications of possibly running again in 2020. Except it couldn't possibly be Hillary. It would have to be one of her body doubles. We have new revelations, by the way, not only that Obama had Susan Rice contact the British to spy on Donald Trump and his administration. I mean, it's outrageous. These are revelations coming from the DNC server, where we now have a new source, where I've reported upon it now with Louisa on the Goldfish Report of Monday and on Truth Versus News with Scott Bennett and Michael J. Anderson on Wednesday. It's really important stuff, and where you can see included therein how the document showing that Hillary's campaign bought the DNC hook, line, and sinker, which was then used to manipulate the entire outcome to guarantee that Hillary would be the candidate. It includes another photograph of Hillary meeting with troops in the Middle East, but it's not Hillary. It's someone who's much younger, more attractive. I encourage you to check out my fake news issues of identity on 153news.net. That's a secure site separate and apart from YouTube, which has been regularly taking down my contributions. 153news.net, fake news issues of identity. You'll find some rather disturbing proof that Hillary even used body doubles during the campaign, during the nationally televised debates, both with Bernie Sanders on the one hand and with Donald Trump on the other. We have to learn from experience and not allow ourselves to be deceived and manipulated again, where the Democratic Party has become grotesque, absolutely grotesque. And even Hillary is complaining about the child separation policy signed into law by her husband, where Obama, during his two terms, separated 90,000 kids from their parents. Donald Trump, following the laws of the land, as he's obligated as our chief executive, separated only 2,000. And he's now, of course, signed an executive order to halt the practice. But that means Obama, Barack, was 45 times worse than the Donald here, but you didn't hear a peep about it from liberals or Hillary or the Democrats at all as part of their paranoia, their efforts to demonize the Donald, which are absolutely stunning. Let me say, too, that Robert David Steele, whom I admire increasingly day by day, has warned us about the potential for a false flag in the United States using nuclear weapons in Chicago, the most likely target being the Sears Tower, now known as the Willis Tower, owned by none other than Larry Silverstein, who brought us 9/11, where the World Trade Center was put into his private hands for the first time just six weeks in advance of the event, where the whole matter was orchestrated by the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense and the Mossad. Robert David Steele is now publishing a series of memoranda, one-page memoranda, about 9/11 for the benefit of the President of the United States. They began on the 4th of July, his own first memorandum entitled 9/11 Domestic False Flag Operations and Your Legacy. Also the same day, my three proofs we have not been told the truth about 9/11. On the 6th of July, they were followed by Joe Olson, memorandum for the president, the Twin Towers were destroyed using clean nukes, WTC-7, with conventional demolitions, and by Victor Thorne, now deceased, the Zionist role in planning, funding, and controlling 9/11. On the 7th of July, by Christopher Bolin, 9/11 and the War on Terror, Israel's History of False Flag Operations Against the United States, a very impressive document that was allowed to go over one page because the list of Israel's attacks on the United States is so compelling. David Ray Griffin on the 8th of July, proposal for a presidential 9/11 truth summit. 9 July, Fred Burks, evidence 9/11 used to launder $240 billion in covert securities in a covert economic war. 10 July, Eric Hufschmidt, please find the courage to declare 9/11 a false flag operation. 11 July, Scott Bennett, how 9/11 was funded, the man behind the missing $2.3 trillion. 12 July, Kevin Barrett, Muslims were framed for 9/11. Fake news, mainstream media silences us with a half a dozen or more to come. This is brilliant work, one page a piece. Check it out. Go to enter the name Robert David Steele. Go to his websites. You wind up at Phi Beta Iota, and you can follow these memoranda. Don't miss it. This is absolutely sensational stuff. The world needs to know. And I just want to emphasize, too, that he has a number of additional references supporting the 9/11 POTUS series, including a very brilliant piece on 9/11 by Dennis Camino, 9/11, A Swirling Volcano of Lies, originally published on my blog. You can find that link there. Another 9/11 reference document from 2015, Meet Ashton Carter, Rothschild agent. Another 9/11 precursor document, Catastrophic Terrorism, Tackling the New Public Danger, the elegance of Zionist information operations over time. Another, Mongoose, is Rahm Emanuel in Chicago to coordinate and then cover up the next Zionist false flag attack in the USA. All this is stunning stuff. He's doing a brilliant job. This man is providing real leadership for the nation. I endorse him 100%, and I encourage everyone here that you ought to go to Robert David Steele. Check out 9/11, Phi Beta Iota. Put in his name, go to his websites. You'll see the most recent of the memos today. It's Kevin Barrett. Muslims were framed. Tomorrow, no doubt, another. Actually, it will be Ed Jewett. 9/11, the Zionist Rothschild use of agents. The day after that, the 14th, Peter Dale Scott. 9/11, Dick Cheney and the hijacking of the U.S. government. You cannot miss this for the sake of the nation. You must understand one-page memoranda. You can come back again and again and again. Chuck, Mike, thank you once more. And I can't begin to tell Mike how much I admire the brilliance of Penn Magazine. He's doing a great job, as you are both, with a new American dream.
We hear now from Johnny, sitting in his car waiting to order at McDonald's, making his video blog entitled As the World Burns while he waits, with his phone sitting on the dash, secured with duct tape.
Remember this. Is this working? The military is not the answer. They're not heroes. They're murderers. Remember 9/11. Did not happen as we've been told. It was terrorism conducted by our own government against us for the long-range purpose of enslaving us. Remember John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, They were killed by our own government because they were powerful enough to threaten the people who make money from our system. The rest of us merely survive. There are actually, if you can imagine it, people who make millions and billions. If you were ever able to threaten them, they would kill you too. That's what the United States of America stands for. Boston, Aurora, Sandy Hook, the moon landings, Orlando, Paris, London, Brussels, LAX, and dozens more. All fakes and hoaxes. Remember that. The reason? To fool you. To scare you. To say, yes, it's okay for the police to search my home, my car, my body. Because I don't want to be called a communist, a criminal, a terrorist. I don't want that. I want anything but that. Remember Operation Northwoods, Operation Mockingbird, MK Ultra, COINTELPRO. If you don't know what they are, remember, you can Google it. Remember Cass Sunstein, cognitive infiltration. If you don't know who he is, just Google it. Remember, you can do that. Look it up. Remember Joseph Goebbels and think of our media. We all think of our newspapers and radio and television news people of years ago and now as honest, truthful people. Some, maybe. Most not. You need to know that. Remember that you have the power to change the world. You cannot become president. They told you that you could, because this is America. That was another lie. But you do have the power to change the world, nevertheless, just by doing the work to learn what is really going on. The legitimacy of this economic and military agenda ultimately relies on propaganda. The terrorists are a creation of U.S. intelligence. The broader public is not ignorant. It's the media that instills that ignorance. It's an engineered process for manipulation of public opinion.
You may move ahead to the second window. Your Chupa Loop is ready.
Stay tuned next week for another episode of As the World Burns, when we will see Johnny getting ice cream at DQ.
Our next guest of the show is Thomas Wertmann. Thomas Wertmann joins us each month from Cleveland, Ohio. He is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, and we look forward to hearing his reports every month. So now we're going to try to contact Thomas Wertmann of MUFON in Cleveland.
Hello?
Well, hello, Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. What I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight is there's an article circulating between one of the groups of UFO researchers I'm in that basically said that UFOs are no longer being reported. And it had like a big question mark after it. And the reason behind the article was is that the number of UFO reports have declined. In MUFON, our organization received initially back in like 2000, small numbers of reports. But at that time, a lot of things were all handwritten. And as we started advancing into the computer age, right around 2008, 2009, and so forth, and the numbers started picking up substantially. In 2012, we hit a peak. It was probably right around 7,000 cases reported in MUFON in that year. But what the article is looking at is since 2012, they've seen the numbers decline, in this case, about maybe 30%. Last year, we had about 5,700 cases reported worldwide, and that was down from the peak of roughly right around 7,000. This year, last month, we had about 378 cases, something like that, reported in MUFON. But again, the numbers have been on a gradual decline, and I don't really think it indicates that there's fewer sightings. I think what people need to look at is not fewer sightings, but the factors behind why potentially there are fewer reports. One is potentially the reporting system. Now, I grew up going to school, having to write everything out longhand. Always watch your spelling. Don't misspell words when you wrote everything out longhand. But then as I started advancing, getting involved in other things, especially my job. Well, I started navigating over to the computer and started really getting familiar with the word processor. And I was able to type things much faster, didn't have to worry about the spelling mistakes. I could correct them. They would even tell me what I did wrong, potentially on those computers. So it started changing that whole system of, let's say, writing longhand reports for work. Well, the same thing is true of MUFON when we moved over to a computer system. It allowed us to get much more reports, more faster from all over the world. But then you start looking at some other factors behind that. Millennials. The millennial generation is much more adaptive to doing everything through a cell phone. They've got their smartphones with them all the time. And I know when I've talked to a number of myself, they said they don't even have a computer at home. They use their cell phone for everything. Well, in MUFON, we went from paper reports to computers. And now what we may be seeing is the millennial generation or the newer generation itself, they're doing a lot more reporting of things by cell phone. And when they started hitting a long report, and this is another potential problem, when they hit a long report, they're doing it on a cell phone, which may not be completely compatible with the way the original software is written for doing reports, which is designed for, let's say, a desktop or laptop. They're trying to do everything on a cell phone, which is much smaller. And then if that form happens to get quite extensive in length, I know I did a report, not for our organization, but another group, and they had almost a 200-question report to fill out. And as you get farther into it, you're like, do I really want to spend this much time doing this? So I think this reporting system needs to be updated. And what we need to look at is something that's a much quicker report, much shorter form on there to go along with the new millennials, and also something that's adapted over to smartphone technology so they can do something with an app instead of filling out this whole lengthy form on there. Another thing goes along with it. I know if I get a long form to fill out, my attention span doesn't stay there. So I need something to also help keep my attention span focused on completing that report. Well, you've got other factors besides length of report. You've got social media. I'm finding more people say they know what they saw, and I can just go on my Facebook page and I can post a picture and make comments about what I saw. Why? Because they don't necessarily need the proof behind what they saw. They know they saw something. They can't explain that object on here. And they want to post it out there. And also, they'd like to get feedback from other individuals and comments from other individuals. So you've got social media also being another thing to distract away from potentially receiving the reports. You've also got YouTube. I've got a number of people that when they have submitted a report, they say, oh, can check out my YouTube page. I've got it on my YouTube site, the video. That's where it's at. Well, that was the first thing they did. When they saw this unusual object they couldn't explain, they went to the YouTube page, they posted their videos, posted their pictures, etc. on there, made their comments, and that was just enough to satisfy them. Another factor I came across was not knowing who to report something to. MUFON, your listeners may have heard me on the radio a number of times, and MUFON is a mutual UFO network of which we have a website called MUFON.com that they can fill reports out at. But if they don't know who to report it to, the reports never get turned in. Well, something that goes along with that is visibility of the name and making people aware of who the organization is. A number of people out there may be watching UFO-related shows. When we started gaining popularity, receiving much more reports, is when shows like UFO Hunters and so forth were on back in before 2010. When Hangar One came out, which is a show that had MUFON involvement, after every show, we kind of joked around between us on here, the investigators saying, well, Hangar One was on last night. We're going to get a bunch of reports in the morning because people now know who we are. So the media promoting the UFO subject out there, whether it be UFO Hunters, Hangar One, even shows like Ancient Aliens, that produces an effect on our reports. And right now, if there's a decline in the number of UFO-related shows out there, like we had 5-10 years ago, people may not be knowing who to go to turn reports in. Something I've also seen is, with some of the reports we've received, but also talking to individuals, they say, hey, I know what I saw. I don't need verification on what I saw. I know what I saw. Well, I'm from the old school generation. The old school generation was, I saw something unusual. Did anybody else see it? How many other people saw it? Did they see the same thing I did? Can we get some correlating information to give my sighting more credibility on there? What I'm finding now is more individuals are saying, I know what I saw. I don't need anybody to give me that verification. Fewer people seem to need that. So they're much more satisfied with saying, hey, this is what I saw. I know what I saw. I posted pictures on Facebook, whatever. I don't need any more verification from an organization like yourself. So that's another factor to be happening on there. I don't know if you've also seen this area on there, Chuck. The other day I was driving around in my car, and I happened to be going by a bus stop. And at the bus stop, you had about a dozen people there. And I had to stop for a light, and I looked over in almost disbelief, but everybody waiting on the bus had their cell phone out, probably checking out scores, checking out their Facebook page, checking out everything else. But here, this was this beautiful day, clear, sunny sky, incredible day, and nobody was even looking around them. Everybody's completely focused on their cell phones. So if people aren't looking up, if people aren't looking around them, they're going to be less likely to notice something. So now you've got more people intent on looking at their cell phones, reviewing things like that, and not paying attention to the environment around them. Another final area to kind of get into is when I was involved with MUFON initially, back in 2009, and also another organization, I would take and do monthly reports. I'd talk about monthly UFO sightings, give monthly updates, and people were really fascinated with that back around that 2009-2010 timeframe. But what I've noticed then is, since that time, is people were now getting more focused in not the data behind the sightings on there, but at times they'd start looking at the conspiracy side. We had meetings where we talked about secret underground military bases, where we talked about potential tunnels going underground. Those subjects really started getting attention on there. We had other meetings where we talked about different government cover-ups, cover-ups involving potential military sightings on air. You had individuals in our group who were in the military at one time. They were talking about some of their sightings, some of the reports on air. And it started migrating always back to the cover-up.
Find some comfort at Willow's World,
a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Decentralization and bank and annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we bring you the Bill Hicks Target and Walmart 4th of July card special American collection. Tell those Americans around you what you really think of them. A card designed with you in mind. Some sample selections from the Bill Hicks Target and Walmart 4th of July card special American collection. It's all about money, not freedom, y'all, okay? Nothing to do with freaking freedom. If you think you're free, try going somewhere without freaking money, okay?
Go back to bed, America. Your government has figured out how it all transpired. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here. Here's American gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here's American gladiators. Here's 56 channels of it. Watch these pituitary retards bang their freaking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You're free to do as we tell you. You're free to do what we tell you.
I'll show you politics in America. Here it is right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding out both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control. Here's Love Connection. Watch this and get fat and stupid.
The world is like a ride in an amusement park. When you choose to go on it, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are. The ride goes up and down, around and around. It has thrills and chills. It's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Many people have been on the ride a long time, and they begin to wonder, hey, is this real or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us and say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid ever, because it's just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. I got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill the good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it any time we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money, just a simple choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your doors, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defenses each year and instead spend it feeding and clothing and educating the poor of the world, which it would pay for many times over, not one human being excluded. And we could explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
The Bill Hicks Target and Walmart 4th of July Card Special American Collection, a card designed with you in mind. And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. George Carlin.
God bless America. Once again, I respectfully say to myself, what the... does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech as if it were some sort of verbal tick that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying fuck about America. Okay? He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen, there's 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think God is sitting around picking out his favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? And why would it be America out of all the countries? Because you have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic Rice-A-Roni. It's delusional thinking. And America is not alone with this sort of delusion. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed dead soldiers who are convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's gonna be disappointed. Somebody's wasting their fucking time. Could it be everyone? Now, if people want to say God bless America, that's their business. I don't care. But here's what I don't understand. If they say God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone. He loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do. They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have gone up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done. That's what these people should do. Or else they should admit that God bless America is really just sort of some sort of empty slogan. No real meaning. Except for something vague, like, good luck. good luck, America. You're on your own, which is a little bit closer to the truth. Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. In the name of God, stop a moment, cease your work, look around you. That's Leo Tolstoy. Thursday evening to President George W. Bush. Hello. Wow. I cannot imagine me writing a letter to the President of the United States. At my age, I should know better. I did write one time before to Truman as a child. Our fourth grade teacher, Sister Ignatius, made each of us get something down on paper before we could go out for recess. It was a Fish Friday, I know, to tell him about how we were preparing for nuclear war and fighting communism in our classroom, hiding under our desks, that type of thing. That was before your time, but still had us all pretty scared. We thought that big, foul-smelling creatures from Russia were going to walk right up to us on the playground and make us denounce Jesus and the United States, spit loogies on the governor of Iowa, things of that nature. It all seemed very real. Maybe it was. Maybe someone made it all up. Perhaps they wanted to make lots of money building weapons, which they did. Or maybe it was real. I was a youngster then. To this moment, I retain the perceptions of a child about those days. I can still smell the brown paper towels and the soap from the dispenser. It all makes me feel very not frightened, because I know it didn't happen, the end of the world. I guess what it makes me feel is cozy. Strange. Think of dim winter light, warm wool clothes, and classrooms, and seeing your breath as you scamper over to the school from morning mass. It might have helped to make everything more vivid to feel that everything could be over before math class. Maybe you wouldn't have to do the assignment, because the world would end by 2:10 anyway. Should you cancel it? I recall clearly the faces of the other children, frozen in my mind as they were then, maybe because we huddled closer to get warm. But today, it's different. We're the bully on the playground. At least back then, we thought we were the good guys. Today, that sort of imagining is not possible. Sir, I cannot help but disrespect you, no matter how hard I might try. I was raised to respect authority, mom and dad, teachers, the police, the president, but that's unlikely anymore. I'm older. I cannot help but see certain things. You're rich, not intelligent, not curious about the world. It's clear what drives you. It's not clear what drives you besides someone else. Seems you're a made-up person, not quite real. You seem scared, aware you're a phony, that you have not prepared, done the requisite work for your position, that you're wholly undeserving. Sir, I must tell you, because you do not appear to know, compassion is the most important thing, the only thing that really, really matters. If you were a man of God, truly a man of God, I would not need to inform you. And it is the poor who are the most important in the world. Greed is a disease, much like alcoholism or tobacco. Surplus money clouds a person's perception, takes over a life. Wealth is a very dangerous thing to hold in one's hand. I fear it's too late for you. Well, no. Of course, I must take that back. It can never be too late. What I mean to say is that it appears you will not change, that you're a lost soul. And no matter who it is, that's never something I could be happy about, even for you. Sir, the Russians are not coming. The only life you will ever have is here, now. It's arrived faster than you ever thought possible. Federal Express, please do not leap under your desk and put your hands over your head as it appears you would love to do. If need be, tell those around you who are keeping you from God to go to hell. You have other plans for your life. Yes, there is still time. Sincerely, Charles Johnson, Moonrock Lake, Ohio. We saw last week that Charlie Johnson, retired Moonrock Lake newspaper reporter, has been taken to the local mental hospital by his niece in her red pickup for testing. because of his recent letters to the editor. Now, Charlie has his own room on a shiny old floor inside the gigantic old red brick hospital. Charlie stood at the window. He noticed a man jog slowly over the path, followed by a trotting dog being careful not to go too fast. He saw to the end of the road out by the big blue sign. He watched cars entering, how they disappeared from sight and reappeared below him at the front door. He thought of how he would do this every day for 10 years, 30 years. He saw many lighted houses. The town looked like a campground, and Charlie bobbed everywhere out on the water in the dark, alone. The others told stories on shore, sang songs, fixed some more. Somehow no one had seen Charlie float off earlier in the day. Nobody had missed him or was even looking toward the water. Charlie could see Mrs. McNally hauling food to the dining room. She took in several dishes. Charlie kept watching. She brought them back to the kitchen. So much of life is pause. Take a deep breath and then keep going. Charlie turned to talk to Dr. Sue. The room was dark. Charlie shuffled off, bending over, feeling with his hands ahead of his legs till he bumped his head on the wall. In a mad hurry to fend off panic, Charlie ran his hands all over the wall till he found a switch. Charlie stepped up to face the darkness now in the hall. I leaned into the dark hallway searching for hope, a glimmer. Nothing. Not even the glow under a door showing a lamp lit somewhere. I began to feel my way around. I had to pee bad. I've always had that. But I have to go now. June said I should have it checked out. One day I would wish I had. Well, I'm wishing now. Here I am, fumbling around in the dark in the mental ward. Having to pee, not being able to find the restroom. Felt my way toward what I thought to be the wall facing the road. I went slowly, hitting end tables and fumbling over hanging pictures. I then headed what I thought to be west, sticking close by, trying to make some time in the open spaces. I got to going too fast and hit something, maybe with my knee or my thigh. Over I went. My big butt became airborne, did a 360, maybe a 180. My swatch of hair floated and flowed and swayed, tumbled me, flipped me over in the darkness. I felt finally, totally, thankfully, irretrievably lost. In midair, I was aware of pain and deception, and in the darkness, I felt free for one half of a split second. And then I hit, bottomed out, sunk lower than I'd ever been before, in a soft, leather, padded, foamy, once expensive easy chair. In the delicious darkness that cushioned and hugged me and took me in. A lesbian nun at the front door of the soup kitchen on a January night. Well, for now at least I didn't have to pee. Sank way down in that chair. It was so soft, so firm. I felt safe. Put the footrest up, reached to the floor out of habit for my afghan all folded up and washed by June for me. There was no one. There was one there. It had a thick weave. The kind with no spaces to let the cold air through the way I like it. I unfolded it, and for some reason it felt yellow and red like mine. I really am crazy. I distinctly remember the thought crossing my mind. Now, like a fisherman casting his net, I tossed it at my legs. It took me a couple of tries to get it over my toes. It was big enough to tuck around my shoulders and under my chin. Well, now I'd really better not have to go. So I sat there. I stared into the dark till it wasn't so dark anymore. I really was not afraid for once. For what reason, I don't know. It had been a long time. At home after June left, I had the radio or TV on usually most of the night. I began to make out shapes, directions, sounds, smells. Imagine I heard the cry of someone in the night, maybe being tortured by whips, or by thoughts of having taken their child to the first day of school and now looking into the child's room and there was no child at all. The screams came again. I could not tell if they were from the houses on the shore or the boat out here on the big lawn sea, this floating prison, insane asylum, lifeboat, timeout room, this resting place for tired minds. Or maybe I heard myself crying. When I wrote all those letters to the editor about how it would cost too much to build another school, how the hippies were ruining America, they never sent me out here. My friends smiled at me when I came to Dan's for coffee. But when I wrote about the war in Iraq, called Bush a stupid idiot, nobody remembered to save my regular chair. When I was in school, Catholic school, St. Mark's, they told us, "Thou shalt not kill." They told us a lot of things. Then when you go out those side doors and take them seriously, they say, "Wait a minute. Be realistic." You ever ask for directions in a small town in Ohio? It's always the same. The guy will smile, tell you you can't miss it. If you pass the Dairy Queen, you've gone too far. If you're sitting in the mental health institution at night by yourself in the pitch dark with a yellow and red Afghan over your knees, you've probably gone too far. And you know all those sayings you hear every day? Blah, blah, blah. You're crazy, man. You going there? You're crazy. You doing that, then you're crazy. Well, you know, I like strawberry syrup on a burrito and taco sauce over strawberries. Yeah, that's crazy. All these things we can't do or we're crazy. I must have done quite a few. Down the hall, maybe around the corner toward that middle round glassy office area, I hear music or talking. I see now I'm in sort of a day room area. There are two chairs like mine on this side with a couple of end tables and some plants on the floor. And the restrooms appear to be at the other end of the rectangle. There's a large photo or portrait also at the far end. It really is a radio I hear. Smell a cigarette. Sounds like a war reporter talking about a battle going on in front of him. There's crackling like gunfire. Could be static. I let my neck muscles relax and put my head back against the cushion. The footrest gives just a bit more, and I'm an astronaut ready for takeoff to leave the Earth, to get out of Dodge. All I need is for someone to start the countdown. 10, 9, 8. Blast off. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake. For all the police and soldiers are thugs. All the journalists and some Democrats are cowards. And all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget. No UFO files that Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that won't be opened in our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK burger photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR, the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this long war debacle to trial. Put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies, we subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job, they all know that, but we need an America's a Truth Commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news. Somebody's advertising slogan. Someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters. The ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement. Jessica Resnicek. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden killed and buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. No, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered, no plane parts. Yeah, and Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters, etc. Are you afraid? Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, the killer is in the same house with us. The killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you'll be back next Thursday and every Thursday right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you did to make this show possible. And thanks to our guests, Thomas Wortman, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer, Philip Ferruzio, and Frank Cordero. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
Tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we are listener-sponsored and commercial-free, but there still are bills to pay. In order to raise some needed funds to cover the cost, our station is offering a silver special. In the continental United States for a $60 donation, or in Alaska, Hawaii, or Canada for a $70 donation, we will send you an uncirculated 2018 1-ounce pure silver eagle. The $70 donation, the extra 10 is to cover shipping, by the way, outside of the continental United States. When making the donation, you must put Silver Eagle promo in the notes on the donation. And thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at revolution.radio and freedomslips.com. Without you, there is no less. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts